You're listening to OWW Radio,
the official radio show of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
All right, so here we are, living it day by day. You are a superstar, and you said what she used to always say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of OWW Radio. It's the official radio program of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Each week, OWW Radio will bring perspective to WWE, TNA, and everything else making news in the world of professional wrestling. This week, we'll discuss all of the events surrounding World Wrestling Entertainment. And I am joined not by David, but by New York Times bestselling author of the World Wrestling Entertainment Encyclopedia, Brian Shields. How are you doing this week, Brian?
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me on. It's great to be back.
I'm doing very, very well. You have a big engagement coming up as part of the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame in Waterloo, Iowa. Can you give the listeners a little bit of information about what's going to be happening that weekend and how exactly you'll be involved?
Absolutely. And we are a few weeks away from an incredible happening at the National Wrestling Hall of Fame Dan Gable Museum in Waterloo, Iowa, July 12th and 13th. They are having their annual Hall of Fame induction weekend. And they announced a couple of weeks ago that I've been added to their weekend festivities, where the history of WWE presentation that I give is going to be part of the weekend. So it is a huge honor for me to be able to be part of this weekend. Just to give your listeners an idea, you want to talk about the cream of the crop as far as the professional wrestling sports entertainment business goes. The likes of Nature Boy Ric Flair, Edge, Cowboy Bill Watts, Jumping Jim Brunzel, longtime and heralded wrestling photographer and journalist George Napolitano is being inducted as well. So to be asked to be part of this and to be made part of the weekend is really just a huge honor for me.
Absolutely. With so many legends walking around and then giving a presentation about a lot of their careers, is there anyone, I hate to put you on the spot, but is there anyone that you're excited about meeting this particular weekend? Not to insult anyone else, but sometimes when you go into a big weekend like this, there's one name that, man, I'd like to make time and to have a conversation with him.
I have to tell you, there are so many, and there are so many that I've gotten a chance to work with that I haven't seen in a while, or that, you know, I've spoken to you for years with them over the phone and worked with them on projects and never met them in person. But I have to say, as far as the two people, that there are three people that I've never met before. I've never spoken to them or had any conversation with them. Nature Boy Ric Flair, Edge, and Cowboy Bill Watts are people that I have admired for many years, and I just really cannot wait to meet with them. And Jumping Jim Brunzel also. I mean, I was a huge fan as a kid of the 80s. You know, the Killer Bees were a great tag team. Jim had an incredible career in the AWA and Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling as well. So it's just going to be a huge weekend, and it's going to be difficult to remain professional and not, you know, be like a little kid, you know, wanting to meet all of these incredible athletes.
Now, you bring up Edge. Edge is kind of an interesting name because I believe that in this current era of professional wrestling, obviously John Cena is the number one act in all of professional wrestling. But I think of the last 10, 15 years, you can make an argument that his number two would have been Edge. I consider him to be John Cena's possibly his best rival. Edge, for the current state of professional wrestling, I feel like Edge had an incredible, incredible career. Do you believe that Edge, his legacy will hold up the long term, or do you believe that people underappreciate Edge, or kind of what are your thoughts on Edge?
I think, well, first of all, I think he was an incredible talent and somebody that paid his dues and then some, worked his way up, and is, you know, I think he's an all-time great. I think at the time, he was so consistently good that he may have been a little underappreciated. You know, I think from his days with Christian, that they were a great tag team. You know, you were seeing glimpses of that during that time, you know, that he was really going to be a breakout star. And then, you know, his ability to go from that, you know, hero, good guy that everybody loved of, you know, totally reeking of awesomeness, to just a hated villain. And his stuff with Cena and Undertaker, I mean, the list goes on and on. I mean, he was fantastic. And I do think because he was so good and because, you know, he never took a break. I mean, it seemed like he was always there. I know he had some injuries, so, you know, he made some comebacks a couple of times. But, you know, I think it was somebody that you're not really going to get an idea of how great he was until a couple of years down the road. But I do think his legacy will hold up just because he was so talented in so many different ways.
Last night's Raw was a transitional show in a lot of ways. It kind of set the direction for where the company is going to go for the rest of the summer. One of the big angles last night, there were a few big angles last night, but one of the big ones to close out the show was CM Punk being attacked by Brock Lesnar.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very interesting feud, in my opinion, because kind of like the Rock feud with CM Punk, there's a drastic size difference. Historically, mm-hmm. this seemingly doesn't look like a feud they would have attempted in the past. But I like the fact that they're giving Punk an opportunity against Lesnar. What are kind of your thoughts about what they did last night and the prospects for this match going forward?
I love it. I have to tell you, I thought, and I was on the phone with someone at WWE this morning about something unrelated, but, you know, I had to, of course, give my opinion, and I thought that last night's Raw was one of the best of the year so far. And I know that we're early into 2013, but I thought that last night's Raw was one of the best of the year. I thought that the Mark Henry turn on Cena was awesome. And as far as CM Punk, what you were talking about, I have to tell you, I think it's a huge deal. I think it's a huge deal that CM Punk is going to go, as it looks right now, is going to be going up against Brock Lesnar in some form or fashion. You know, and I think that what I thought of immediately was how great he did against The Rock and how great he did against The Undertaker. And it kind of reminded me a little bit of back in the day when Shawn Michaels was really coming into his own as a superstar in terms of that, you know, iconic performer where, you know, he went up against competitors of all shapes and sizes, and he had great matches with everybody from, you know, Diesel and Razor Ramon and Bret Hart. I mean, you know, you just go down the line, you know, Vader, Mankind. You know, I think that what we're seeing from CM Punk, what we're going to see is something along those lines where it's going to be great. I mean, one of the things too that I think people forget about CM Punk is, you know, he has a legitimate martial arts self-defense background. So, and I like how he incorporates that, you know, into his matches. So I think the match is going to be, if that indeed is what's happening, I think it's going to be great.
It's fun. It's funny, not to sound mocking, but it's the self-defense background. It's honestly surprises me how forward he is with it, because he wears that Gracie Jiu-Jitsu jacket seemingly every week on television, and I'm surprised he wears it as often as he does. It's really surprising to me.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I mean, it's so funny. You think back to the history of this business, and I remember, you know, if somebody did a thrust to the throat, or what they used to call the, you know, Savate style kick, you know, I mean, it was like they were a martial arts expert. You know, we have evolved in this, you know, form of sports entertainment where, you know, you have a lot of men and women in WWE that have legitimate self-defense mixed martial arts backgrounds. You know, not everyone incorporates it into their in-ring persona, but I think between, you know, some of the strikes and the kicks that Punk has incorporated into his attack, as well as the great submission holds, I think the match with Brock Lesnar is going to be very, very good.
I touched on this last week, and I don't want to rail too much against traditional mindsets, but, you know, traditionally in professional wrestling, for example, I'll use Bill Watts. Bill Watts had the reputation, and he's even said in shoot interviews, that one of his guys lost a bar fight, he would fine them. Or maybe even send them out of the territory. And it's very interesting that, you know, World Wrestling Entertainment for a while was seemingly not for going the entertainment route, right? But now that they exist on the same level with the Ultimate Fighting Championship, Brian, in the 80s, you are correct. Kabuki could pull off the throat thrust, or Mr. Fuji could pull it off. And we assumed that was martial arts because our knowledge of martial arts as a society was so limited until we had the introduction of Ultimate Fighting Championship. And now I think even a layman who's never trained a day in his life understands what a martial artist looks like, what he performs like. And it's interesting how World Wrestling Entertainment, while, you know, I'm not a biggest fan of a lot of all the changes they've done historically, but one change is that they separated themselves from the, you know, this is legitimate sport. This is a legitimate contest from this is entertainment between very well-trained and very tough guys. And, oh, by the way, they exist on this other level where a lot of them, famously, CM Punk, they do train in a form of martial arts as a side thing. So it's interesting that they exist on the same plane. Does that make any sense to you, Brian?
Absolutely. You know, it absolutely does. And I think that one of the things, you know, 2013 is a special year for WWE in that as an organization, it's enjoying its 50th year. And I think if you go back in time, one of the things that people will be able to enjoy learning about is how the company evolved over time, creating superstars, creating legends and icons. And I think the way that the product is presented and the superstars are presented is a very big part of that. And once you start talking about, you know, someone's offensive repertoire, if you will, or arsenal, you know, that becomes a very big part of it. And the martial arts, mixed martial arts, self-defense, you know, those are things that can really add a lot to a character. And I think now what we're seeing today and what we've seen over the years is that most times the best characters are those that are not quote unquote characters, but an extension of the people's who they are in real life, quote unquote.
You know, I had an opportunity to do a Spike TV conference call, I believe it was 2 weeks ago, with Quentin Rampage Jackson being signed. I had an opportunity to speak to Dixie Carter about this bringing in mixed martial arts fighters into professional wrestling. Does it cause people, notably in the MMA media and even in traditional media, to kind of give an unfair perception of professional wrestling. And I draw that because I felt like that's what happened in New Japan when they started utilizing the mixed martial arts fighters. I felt like the pro wrestlers, when they did MMA, they drew well. But when the MMA guys came into pro wrestling and beat the pro wrestlers, I felt like it hurt New Japan pro wrestling for years and years. What's interesting is World Wrestling Entertainment has, they've, you know, has, someone brought up to me a few weeks ago the example of Muhammad Ali when he got involved with Gorilla Monsoon, and fast forward Stone Cold Steve Austin being involved with Mike Tyson, and then fast forward to now where Brock Lesnar, and maybe it's because he didn't start off in the fighting world, but for him to seamlessly go from professional wrestler to mixed martial arts fighter to professional wrestler, and he is taking credible in all facets. It's not, you know, he doesn't bring any unfair criticism to professional wrestling when he does professional wrestling. When he did MMA, he was taken, I guess that's debatable if he was taken as a credible MMA fighter or not. He certainly was a credible one, but I think a lot of people were probably unfair to him. But it's interesting how far we've progressed with the utilization of people from different sports arenas.
Yeah, and you know, and it's funny because you talk about Gorilla Monsoon, Muhammad Ali, you know, the famous Ali Inoki matchup as well. You know, I mean, there have been so many different things where there's been crossover throughout the years of boxing and professional wrestling, and now, you know, the mixed martial arts. And it's funny because you think about, you know, what ECW did with Taz, and Taz really was the one that incorporated the whole tap out element into professional wrestling. And then, you know, Ken Shamrock and Dan the Beast Severn, which I really think the two of them being part of WWE, I think was way ahead of its time. I mean, if I remember correctly, at the time it was well received. Like, you know, people thought it was cool, but it did not transcend entertainment. I think today, if that was happening, it would get a lot more mass media headlines, because mixed martial arts and UFC today is a very big deal. Whereas in the 90s, for much of the 90s, you know, those pay-per-view events were all in Las Vegas. It was almost like a, you know, an underground kind of phenomenon that was just starting to brew.
You know, what's interesting is that Shamrock actually trained professional wrestling in Florida in the 80s. In Japan, when he was doing shoot fighting, always had a tinge of pro wrestling. So when he came to World Wrestling Federation, he was able to adapt fairly quickly, I feel. I mean, I remember him having very good pro wrestling matches with, for example, The Rock and lot of those guys. I mean, he was kind of a real good guy to kind of do it. You know, like, that's what TNA is kind of going for with Muhammad Lawal and Rampage Jackson, is this crossover MMA pro wrestling talent. And it'd be interesting to see what they can do, if you can do both at the same time. I talked to Muhammad Lawal. He greatly enjoys doing the pro wrestling, which is interesting because it's very rough on your body, but he greatly enjoys it. But Shamrock was very good at, even though he didn't do MMA at the same time, he did pro wrestling, but he was very good at it. Now, Mark Henry last night was involved in a big angle with John Cena. They were teasing his retirement, and he ended up turning on John Cena, I guess turning, even though it wasn't quite a turn. What were your thoughts on that segment?
I loved it. I loved it. I got to tell you, man, he had me hook, line, and sinker. I mean, his delivery, he had tears. He was shouting at his family. I mean, and I think one of the things, too, that really helped, and it sucked me into the segment more, was usually when that kind of stuff happens, somebody's music hits, and, you know, the individual in the ring gets jumped, or there's some sort of melee, or something like this. I mean, I thought last night it was perfectly done, where, you know, I really thought, like, this is it for Mark Henry. I mean, you know, one of the things that people should remember, Mark Henry has been in WWE for close to 17 years. I mean, he has been wrestling professionally a very, very long time. So, I think that his history in the company, I think, added to it very much. And he just did a great job. I loved it.
Mark Henry, I mean, since he started the World's Strongest Man, I guess the persona that he has currently with the 3-6 Mafia music, it's like he's had a career renaissance over this time to where he almost has the aura of a Lesnar to me, like the shoot fighter without the credentials. I mean, he is very, you know, the term I always use is he feels very real. Like there's no, I feel that Mark Henry is a very real character. He comes across very real. Like I can't imagine him doing a backstage vignette that's funny or anything. I mean, he is very pure.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think one of the things that WWE and Mark Henry should be credited with was, you know, that transformation that happened about 3 years ago, you know, 2 years ago, where, you know, for a long time, you know, Mark Henry, everybody respected his ability and clearly his incredible power. But, you know, once this, you know, and you got a little bit of it when he was in the tag team with MVP, which I really liked, you know, once he turned into this villain, I mean, he was a monster. And he, I mean, the Hall of Pain became very real. And, you know, I think a big reason for that was he was able to deliver. And I think that's something that people have to remember as well. You know, I understand that the entertainment portion, that the promo interview is so valuable, and it always has been and will continue to be. But the biggest time that you get a return on that, and you can go down the line of superstars, legends, and Hall of Famers, but, you know, when you deliver on that in the ring, and, you know, and Mark Henry has done a great job of that, and I think that helped the believability of what he was doing last night, too. It was great.
You know, I remember when Shawn Michaels wrestled, and this is taking it, this is taking it somewhere else, but not really, but when Flair wrestled Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania's retirement match, I remember the close zoom-ins to Shawn Michaels, and he said, "I'm sorry," and I remember that was the first time I'd ever seen that in wrestling, where they'd zoom in on someone, and I could hear what they'd say. Now, fast forward last night to Mark Henry, when he hit John Cena with the World's Strongest Slam and said, "I still got some in the tank," I loved it. And then Mark Henry in the past has said, "That's what I do," and I love the Mark Henry promos. I like it when Mark Henry's in the ring, just yelling at people. The Mark Henry character is something I very much love. And what's interesting last night is that at the pay-per-view and last night we saw video packages for a guy who's not been in World Wrestling Entertainment for a while, but who's been in TNA just recently, and that's Rob Van Dam. This Rob Van Dam thing is really catching on. The fans seem excited to see him back in World Wrestling Entertainment.
It's very cool. It's very, very cool. You know, Rob Van Dam for a very long time, you know, and he's another one, you know, I mean, close to 15 years where he has been one of the most gifted competitors in whatever ring he's in, whether it's ECW, All Japan, you know, go down the line, WWE. I mean, he's an incredible talent. He's very popular, very respected, and again, somebody that is delivering, and with him delivering and then some, on what he's going to give every time he's in the ring for a match. And I think that he brings a lot of excitement, especially, you know, with the passionate WWE sports entertainment fan. And I think it's just going to make the summer that much more exciting.
Last night we also saw, it started at the pay-per-view, and then we saw a new direction for the Dolph Ziggler-Alberto Del Rio conflict, where seemingly they're switching who is the good guy and who's the bad guy. Del Rio is a bad guy. It feels a little bit better, in my opinion. What are your thoughts? And what do you think Dolph Ziggler's projection is going to be as a good guy?
Dolph Ziggler is another one of the superstars that over the last couple of years has been one of my favorites. So to me, I think that he's going to be great as a hero, good guy. The Alberto Del Rio to me is at his most comfortable when he is the villain, when he is that, when he's that Mexican aristocrat. And I always, you know, and I know I date myself with the reference, but, you know, to me, Alberto Del Rio is a great combination of Gino Hernandez, Al Perez, and a little bit of Razor Ramon, of course, and then he puts his own incredible abilities on top of that. But when you think of a Latin villain, I think Alberto Del Rio is the best. I really, really do. And I think the fans love booing him. I really do.
What's interesting is that his character had gotten to a point to where I feel like the fans didn't want to cheer him because he plays his character so well. But then I felt like he didn't quite understand, you know, and all this takes time, you know, because we're dealing with, characters and how they go forward. And it's not always, you know, there's very few times, I think, where people have this kind of role in their life where they have to take a character forward on a weekly basis. I can't think of too many opportunities where someone would ever do that, where someone would have a character they play weekly and have to have him in different scenarios, in different situations. Can you think of one, Brian?
I think you're absolutely right, and it's a testament to Alberto and his ability. I mean, I've always really enjoyed his work in the ring and his ability to just embrace this character and really be him, I think is fantastic. You know, the only time I could think of, and this might not even be completely analogous, is when, you know, Bret Hart was going through that stage where, you know, in most of the cities across the United States, he was a villain. But in Canada and some of the other areas around the country, he was being cheered. But I think that, and even now just thinking about it a little more, I think you're right. I think it's a very unique situation.
Just for all the entire roster to be able to do that with their characters is very, very interesting. Alberto Del Rio, Dolph Ziggler going forward seems to be the feud for that title. John Cena, Mark Henry going forward seems to be the feud for that title. Daniel Bryan, he is certainly transcending a little bit as a character. What are your thoughts on Daniel Bryan and I guess his emergence currently as a certainly, where would you play a guy to watch? I mean, what would be your tagline when discussing Daniel Bryan?
You know, Alex, you're naming all of my favorites. I think Daniel Bryan right now is hitting his stride in terms of really breaking out. For years, he's been one of my favorite wrestlers, competitors. I've always seen in him shades of one of my all-time favorites, the Dynamite Kid, with, again, you know, some martial arts proficiency sprinkled in there. And I think what he's done in the last few years with really transforming himself into this other character, you know, with the beard and the, you know, yes chance and the no chance, what he's done really since WrestleMania has just been fantastic. I talked about this on Twitter a little bit recently. I feel like he's just at a totally different level right now.
Absolutely. I mean, he almost reminds me, I called it, I guess, a poor man's Eddie Guerrero, which kind of sounds like an insult, but when Eddie broke up with his nephew, Chavo, and he went his own singles direction, and the fans just embraced him and kind of rode him like he was almost like a surfboard in a giant wave. You know, the fans took him to the peak, and it's almost like there's starting to be that support for Daniel Bryan in that same way.
I think so. You know, he's really starting to just break out. I mean, I think what he's doing on the microphone, and I think as he's getting more comfortable, I think you can see it, that he's really very comfortable now in front of the camera, speaking on the microphone, in this persona, in this character, and now it's like he's just as comfortable in the ring, and it's all coming together, really, I think, at an exciting time. You know, you're not that far removed from WrestleMania, even though to me it feels like it was forever ago, and you're now getting ready for SummerSlam. I think it's a great time for a superstar to hit their stride.
Well, Brian, thank you very much for joining us this week. Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame in Waterloo, Iowa. You will give your presentation about the history of World Wrestling Entertainment on Saturday, July 12th at 11 a.m. at the National Wrestling Hall of Fame Dan Gable Museum. Shields co-authored the New York Times bestselling WWE Encyclopedia, The Definite Guide to the World Wrestling Entertainment. He has also written Main Event, WWE in the Raging 80s, and children's books about WWE superstars John Cena and Triple H. Thank you very much for joining me this week, Brian. Where else can people find out information about you?
Well, first off, thank you so much for having me back on. I always enjoy your show as a listener, and it's always a pleasure for me to come back on and speak with you as a guest. So thank you for having me. Your audience can find me on Facebook, Brian Shields, and then on Twitter, at Mighty10_Sword.
Don't forget to check out the OWW website at onlineworldofwrestling.com for the latest news, analysis, and updates from the world of professional wrestling. While you are there, you can also catch up on past episodes of OWW Radio. You can email us at radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com to submit topics or questions you would like us to discuss on an upcoming broadcast. Also, make sure to follow us on Twitter at OWWCOM to get all program updates and announcements. We will also be posting directly to the official OWW Facebook homepage. Until next time, this is Alex. We hope you have a safe, happy, and healthy rest of the week, and we'll be back soon with another edition of OWW Radio.